welcome to you all this morning. And this morning we're going to continue with our look at the Gospel of Mark. We're still progressing on a verse-by-verse basis, and today we'll be looking at what I have titled in the sermon, the theme of a second call to repentance. And what I want you to take particular note of this morning as we go through that message that the Lord gives is that the Word contains for us insights into processes that occur within our own lives. And there's good reason why it does that. It does it so that we can see when we're going through these processes where the Lord is taking us. And the other most important reason as to why these processes are revealed through the Word by means of the insights we have from the heavenly doctrines is so that we are able to come alongside other people who will be going through and experiencing those things described in that first chapter of Mark's Gospel. Repentance being one, coming into the literal sense of the word, and today we will be looking at the things that are involved in a person's life as they move from the literal sense of the word to coming into a fuller understanding of its internal or spiritual sense. So just hold that in mind for when we start to look at those things in the Word this morning. Let us pray. First reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 8 through 13. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 13. Verses 14 and 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. From the Heavenly Doctrines, from the work, The True Christian Religion, paragraph 571. After repentance comes reformation and regeneration. Repentance comes first and is the means by which reformation and regeneration can advance step by step. When people go from being natural to becoming spiritual, they move through two general states. The first state is called reformation and the second, regeneration. In the first state, a person views spiritual things from a natural perspective and longs to be in a spiritual state. In the second state, they view the things of the natural from what is spiritual in them. The first state is formed by means of truths, which must be truths of faith. And through these, he looks to charity. The second state is formed by means of the goods of charity, and by these he enters into the truths of faith. It can also be viewed in this way. The first is a state of thought from the understanding, and the second is a state of love from the will. When this latter state begins and is progressing, a change takes place in the mind. The mind undergoes a reversal. The love of the will then flowing into the understanding, acting upon it and leading it to think in accord and agreement with its love. And in consequence, so far as the good of love comes to act, the first part, and the truths of faith, the second, man is spiritual and is a new creature. And he then acts from charity and speaks from faith. He feels the good of charity and perceives the truth of faith. And he is then in the Lord and in peace, and thus regenerate. A second call to repentance. Last week we spoke about the tension that is created when higher ideas are separated from lower ideas, illustrated in the Lord rising up out of the waters of the Jordan after being baptized by John, and then being tempted in the wilderness. In the Greek, as we spoke about, we very much get a sense of the Lord rising up and out of the water, and the picture is one of him being above that water. This we saw is the separation of truly spiritual ideas concerning heavenly things from a natural understanding of them. The Lord rising up out of the water is illustrative of a spiritual process that takes place within the minds of those who are growing spiritually. The waters of the Jordan are a heavenly symbol corresponding to those basic truths that are designed to introduce a person into the life of charity, which is the life of the church. But Jesus rising up out of those waters, or lower order truths, is that extraction of truths belonging to a higher order. Truths in the lower order are those truths naturally understood, such as the Ten Commandments understood as good principles to govern our external life and behavior by. Thus, the use of water illustrating these truths is appropriate because water is a cleansing agent. And such truths as the Ten Commandments, if obeyed, enable a person to clean up their external life and behavior. But higher order truths are of a different class and quality altogether. And they are suited to cleaning up the inner world of our thought and affections, and bringing the external or natural man into submission to the internal or spiritual man. The struggle to resist evil and false ideas within the world of our thoughts and affections is what spiritual temptation is all about. The thing that we will focus on today is the Lord's message, which, like John's, is a call to repentance, a call to change one's mind or to have a different view of things. John's call to repentance is for the remission of sins. Jesus' message is this: the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Thus, in Jesus' message, we have a second call to repentance. What this is pointing to is the fact that both the external message of the literal sense of the word represented by John and that message of the internal sense of the word represented by Jesus is a call to repentance, a call to change. John's message is clean up your exterior life, whereas Jesus' message is clean up your interior life, the life of your thoughts and affections. So where John's message is external repentance, Jesus' message is internal repentance. And friends, both must occur before a person can enter into the reality of a truly spiritual life. If we go back to the events surrounding the message of John the Baptist, we can see that this process of repentance involves the Lord coming from Nazareth of Galilee to John. This is a journey. And we know from what we looked at concerning Abram's journey that all journeys in the Word correspond to spiritual progression. In terms of the Lord's progression within us, which is simply the gaining of a fuller understanding of the Word in relation to learning how to be a more loving person, we see that Jesus' coming from Nazareth of Galilee occurs while people are being baptized by John in the Jordan River. What this illustrates for us regarding the internal spiritual process is that a deeper understanding of the word, Jesus, only comes to a person as they are engaged in external repentance in obedience to the literal sense of the word. This movement of Jesus is illustrative of the movement that occurs in a person's understanding of the word and spiritual things. This progression comes from a simple desire to follow the Lord as one's Lord and Savior. Obedience to the Lord's word is absolutely critical if any spiritual progress is to be made. The simple understanding and obedience is represented by Nazareth of Galilee. For it is out of this simple desire to please the Lord, out of our Nazareth of Galilee, that the Lord comes. And is coming to a person practicing repentance, seek him in the literal sense of the word, that word which John the Baptist represents. The two coming together, the Lord and John. Now notice that after Jesus' coming from Nazareth of Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan, he then returns to Galilee to preach. And this shows us how the progress of the Lord's salvation occurs within a person. Galilee represents a person's desire to do the right thing and a willingness to obey. We will see this in the coming weeks when we look at the call of the first disciples. Nazareth, being a town or village, represents the natural ideas a person has acquired as to what it is to live a good life. Cities, villages, towns in the Word represent our ideas about life. Ideas that we are comfortable living in or living our lives by. That is why Nazareth represents that desire to follow the Lord. Those ideas about what is good. The ideas represented by Nazareth are those ideas held by people who will be very receptive to the message of the gospel. So what is presented here is a very valuable teaching regarding the type of person the church could be targeting in its efforts to reach out to others. A person who holds to those ideas that are represented by Nazareth will be someone who basically seeks to live a good life and do right by others. They will have a fairly strong sense of what is right and wrong, derived from the Word, although the person may or may not see this connection. Ideas from the Word, such as the Ten Commandments, are embodied within our legal system. People are socialized into them. And it's interesting that the term Nazareth, the word Nazareth, means a branch. So whereas we could view a trunk of a tree as being the Lord's Word, a branch could be a more obscure view of it, which is what Nazareth, or that city or town, represents in terms of a person's understanding. They understand that they shouldn't steal, shouldn't murder. They understand these things, and they hold them as being the morals by which they will live their life by. But they are out, a lot of them are out on the branch and don't see the connection back to the Lord's Word. They are those who live by a moral code given in the Ten Commandments. Even though if you were to ask them, many perhaps couldn't or wouldn't be able to even see the connection there. They will also be seekers for meaning, seekers of truth, who have not closed their minds to there being a life beyond that which is purely material. We all know and have come into contact with people like this. The Word here is showing us that they are indeed receptive. What we need to do is look to the Lord to find an opportunity to present them with what the Gospels teach concerning the Lord. Whether they know it yet or not, it is the Lord in them that seeks to be known, and this is what they feel as a desire for truth. It's the Lord's own desire within them, pressing and urging to be known. As members of the new church, we should not worry so much about trying to impart everything the heavenly doctrines teach into such people. They will have the rest of their lives in this world and the next to discover the wonders of heaven contained in them. All we are required to do initially is point them to two fundamental truths. One, that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And two, that He is the Savior and Redeemer of those who engage in repentance. If a person is a genuine seeker, then these two simple truths could lead to any number of questions covering areas of interest the person may have. As ministers of the gospel, which all of us are if we truly seek to be aligned with the Lord's love for the salvation of the human race, we have an obligation, a responsibility to become familiar with the word in its literal sense, particularly the gospels, and specifically those parts of them that openly declare what the church teaches. For these parts of the word are specifically given by the Lord to introduce people into the church. And from there, the church can be introduced to them. A person is introduced into the church through external repentance. This is the message of John, and it is illustrated in Jesus' journey from Nazareth to the Jordan to be baptized by him. Jesus' return to Galilee to preach the gospel is the introduction of the church into a person, and also involves repentance, but a repentance that is internal. Both are needed if a person is to be saved from the hell of their selfishness. This is what we saw described in the reading from True Christian Religion. I encourage you to have a look at that again, perhaps this afternoon after we've left here, or sometime during the week. There is a twofold process going on. One of the Lord coming in and one of Him going out. If you remember, we spoke 2 weeks ago now about the meaning of the Greek word metanoia, which is the word translated repentance in the New Testament. This word literally means after mind or above mind. It speaks of a change of mental structure that occurs after a person has come face to face with the truth, considered it, and acknowledged it as divine, and has sought to apply it to life. We see then how these two ideas and the meaning of metanoia apply. The aftermind is a new understanding of things which comes after truth has been accepted as true, leading to a change in how a person lives their life. The idea of a higher mind, above mind, refers to the heavenly origin of this new mind. It's important for the church to understand that in the nurturing of new people, with a view to assimilating them into the church, there needs to be an emphasis on external repentance first. It is external repentance that prepares a person to have the church introduced into them, which will occur through the practice of internal repentance. The first aspect of external repentance, a change in the way of the view, or change in the view of the world, involves acknowledging that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. What greater change in outlook can there be other than that acknowledgement? Acknowledging that the Word is divine, and because it's divine, it is to be obeyed. These are major shifts in a person's understanding. For a person in a state of mind represented by Nazareth, that of a general good and openness to the possibility of there being more to life than meets the eye, such a shift is a fundamental transformation. And we see from the Word, from that first chapter of Mark's Gospel, that this state involves confessing one's sins, as related to externals initially. What does this mean? Well, it means that basically you take responsibility for your life. That's what it means. Confessing one's sins is acknowledging that we are responsible for the mistakes we make. Once that acknowledgement is made, we can then seek the Lord's help to overcome those things and have our lives improved. It involves a recognition of where our lives don't match up to what our understanding of the Word is, and seeking the Lord through prayer and seeking the support of His church to have things straightened out. When a person practices external repentance, looking to the Lord for help, then in time, a second shift begins to occur in their understanding, a second switch in the way the mind operates and works. This is seen in Jesus' message of repentance. There is a huge difference between the repentance that John preaches and the repentance that Jesus preaches. John's repentance message comes from without. It is that repentance that comes as a result of reading and hearing the Word, understanding it at face value, and seeking to live one's life by it. Jesus' message of repentance arises from within, and is an inner awareness from the Lord that enables a person to assess the quality of their thoughts and intentions. It enables them to see whether these things are of heaven or whether they are of hell. For we all stand between these two worlds as to our spirit, and every moment of every day we have the power of choosing what we will entertain in the world of our thoughts and affections or intentions. This power comes from the Lord, and the choices we make have eternal consequences. The name Jesus means Jehovah is Savior. So when we read the name Jesus in the Word, We know that our attention is being drawn to illustrations in the stories of the Word that can help us to understand in more depth the internal operation of the Lord's desire for ours and other people's salvation. When you read about Jesus moving in the Gospels from place to place, it is the Lord's desire for our salvation moving from place to place within our own understanding, seeking that we might come into a fuller understanding of what it means to love. So here we have that being illustrated. Notice that Jesus' message to repent only comes after John is put in prison. Now remember, John represents the literal sense of the word, or our understanding of the literal sense of the word. If we are to understand what this process involves, what it is for the literal sense of the word to be put in prison in order that the message of the spiritual sense can be made known, then we need to look at what the spiritual sense is in this particular passage. And it's found in Jesus' preaching of his message in Galilee. When a higher spiritual understanding begins to arise within a person's mind, we can say that for this person, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is imminent. Something absolutely profound is on the verge of breaking into a person's consciousness. The literal sense of the word, that understanding, a literal understanding, is about to give way to a new understanding of the word. An understanding that sees it in terms of its inner or spiritual sense. The magnitude of this change or transformation in a person's understanding is seen in the Lord's words, "The time is fulfilled." There are two words in Greek for time. There is the word chronos, which we get chronology from, and that means ordinary linear time, time along a horizontal plane. And there is the word kairos. And kairos is a special sense of time and reflects a moment in time, a vertical line that cuts that horizontal, where things will never ever be the same again. It speaks of an absolute massive change in history. The point of the Lord's birth was kairos, splitting chronos. Nothing would ever be the same again. The time of the Lord's second coming into the world, kairos, splitting the chronos. Things will never ever be the same again. Your birth into the world was kairos. Your departure from it is kairos, splitting the chronos. So what is it that a person moves into in terms of a higher understanding? It is actually seeing aspects of charity, how to live a good life, how to be a more loving person, shining through from the literal sense of the word. It's coming into a full understanding as to how those things apply, how they can be applied in your relationships. That is higher understanding. The heavenly doctrines assist us in coming into that higher understanding, but in and of themselves, they are not that higher understanding. It's what breaks through from the Lord, excites our heart. That is the higher understanding coming. That understanding that enables us to say the right word to the person, to a person. That enables us to be reconciled with people. enables us to move beyond our selfishness into that state of true charity. So let's return to John being bound, or John being put in prison. It is obvious that to be put in prison is to be bound or constrained in some way. John being in prison speaks of a constraint on a person's understanding of spiritual things when their understanding is bound up in the literal understanding of the word. This is what John being bound is all about. It represents that point in a person's spiritual journey when they begin to see problems in the literal sense of the word and are struggling to reconcile what they see in the literal sense with what the church teaches. An example of this can be seen in the apparent contradiction between the church's teaching that God is love and desires the salvation of all people. Yet when this idea is laid alongside many stories in the Old Testament, it seems to stand in direct opposition to the way God is depicted there. In those stories, the literal sense shows a God who extracts vengeance, shows little mercy to the enemies of Israel, even commanding them in some cases to kill everything down to the very livestock. This is a point of kairos in a person's spiritual journey. There is another important lesson here for the church if we choose to reach out for others in order to nurture them into a deeper sense of the Lord's love. It also shows us the state of a person that the new church is particularly suited to assisting. If we are serious about reaching out, then we will need to learn how to be able to support people who have come to this kairos, or crisis point in their spiritual journey in life. Such support can be directed at two groups: those who are assimilated into the life of the church and are moving from externals into more internal things within the church. That is, those who come into the church in the Nazareth state mentioned earlier, and those, and there are literally thousands of them out there, who having been in the Christian church have hit this kairos point only to find if any real support, no answers to carry them through, and the result is that they have ended up leaving the church and even now struggle in the temptations of a spiritual wilderness. The new church is particularly suited to meeting the needs of those sorts of people. The Lord's message for them is to repent and believe the gospel. Friends, we have in our possession that gospel, a unique and powerful message able to release those held captive due to a false understanding of the word, yet desire to continue coming into a fuller knowledge of the Lord. When Jesus was in a synagogue in Nazareth, he took the scroll of Isaiah and he read these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim acceptable year of the Lord." The new church has incredible resources in the heavenly doctrines to assist people through such a crisis, to assist them in having the word restored once again to the center of their lives. But friends, they will not come to us. We must find ways of reaching them. Amen.